Welcome back to Ripe Reviews. Today we're talking about Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire from 2024, directed by Gil Keenan. And was this the Ghostbusters sequel we were promised? I'm Dr. LaScola.
I'm Dr. O'Rourke.
And I'm Dr. O'Rourke.
Let's toast this muffin. I have two O'Rourke boys with me today in the dungeon, folks.
Yes.
We have Michael with us here, Sean's youngest brother?
The youngest.
The youngest of my two brothers. Yep. Welcome, Michael, to the video dungeon.
Thank you. It's an honor, really.
It's awesome to have you here, man.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Yeah, should be fun.
Just before we get into this, I want to talk a little bit about when we met Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, God, years ago.
Shit,
yeah,
I forgot you were there for that.
We were all there for that.
Yeah.
Wow, that was like right when I met my wife.
Yeah,
too,
I was going
to
say,
like
Sarah was
10,
there,
12
right?
years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
I forgot who told us about it, but like Dan Aykroyd was promoting, well, we've talked about it on the show before.
Might have actually been
I think I saw it.
A friend of the show, one of your good friends, Evan Kyle.
Yeah,
I think,
Evan Kyle,
he was also there.
He was there, yeah.
For longtime listeners, Lucio Fulci's butt, I think, was his handle on those old episodes.
It still is his handle,
okay,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's a big supporter of the show. Thank you, Evan.
Yes, thanks, Evan.
But we were all down there at some liquor store in Jersey.
Yeah.
It was in Cherry Hill.
It was in Cherry Hill. By Philly, yeah.
And Dan Aykroyd was down there promoting Crystal Head or Crystal Skull,
whatever the fuck it's called. Yeah, yeah.
And he was signing autographs. So we were all there and like, we got our Ghostbusters. I got my Ghostbusters poster signed. And that was the infamous story where he holds up, you'll see the picture if you're watching on video, where he holds up the Crystal Head vodka in front of me. Because I didn't buy any, even though I already bought like two bottles prior to
that
show.
I think maybe 5% of people in that place bought the vodka.
And it was supposed to be like one item per person, but then like we were handing like items to like other people that were with us that really didn't give a shit. They were just like, all right, if you need me to get this signed, okay.
I think they tried the trick you where if you bought the vodka, you get a free signature. But if you don't, you got to pay $20. It's like, well, I'd rather pay $20 and just not take the vodka.
Dan
I'm good.
I didn't
pay shit.
Maybe that's why he got pissed.
Dan didn't care.
He was trying to add it up on his flip phone.
Yeah, that flip phone. I think we've talked about it in previous episodes, but we haven't talked about Ghostbusters in video form in a while. We did do that Ecto Cooler video where we drank the expired Ecto Cooler from the 2016 release.
We had a whole Ghost Giving, dude, for November a few years
from
back.
From Afterlife when it came out, yeah.
We did an Afterlife Ripe review. Go check that out if you haven't. We did watch-alongs, live watch-alongs, public watch-alongs of Ghostbusters 1 and 2. And the replays are actually on the Patreon right now, patreon.com/moviedumpster, if you're interested in that.
We also did a couple that were minisodes, actually, that were on the main feed. I forget the name of the episodes, but they were the two episodes from The Real Ghostbusters that were kind of adjacent to the movies. There was the one where they try to make a movie based on what happened.
Which I believe is called Take Two.
Yes, and then there's the one where, well, what happened after they beat Stay Puft and Gozer? And they, like, Peter didn't clean the suits or get them burned, and they come back, and we talked about those. They're on the main feed if you want to check them out.
And speaking of Real Ghostbusters minisodes, we're going to be doing one on Patreon with Michael.
Yes.
That's right.
Cold cash and hot water, excuse me. And we're going to talk about how close that may or may not be to Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, but we'll get to that. Go check it out on Patreon.
Yes, we'll talk about that on that episode. Yes. We probably won't hear maybe just a quick mention, but weirdly similar details towards the end there.
All right, guys, so Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Okay, we were waiting for this one. We saw Afterlife. We thought it was okay. We thought it was a good way to do it.
Good.
Yeah, yeah, a good like a Force Awakens type deal for the Ghostbusters universe.
Great comparison.
Yeah,
It's hard not to compare to that. Yeah. That's kind of that and Halloween 2018 were all kind of coming out around the same time within that 5-year stretch.
I was okay.
The
with
requels.
It. I was
the
okay requel, with it.
Yeah, the reboot. Yeah, yeah
it's so Scream. Good.
Yep. I mean, we all wanted more Ghostbusters. We're all huge Ghostbusters fans. Sitting at
we're
the
all wearing the flight suits. I mean, for the audio listeners.
Yeah, I have a tattoo.
There you go.
Yeah, we've by the way,
it's in our family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got Slimer on here with his huge ass. If you haven't seen those, there'll probably be a picture of the reverse side.
Oh, he's got them big, all that cake, baby. Oh, he's licking that crack.
You know.
Had to do it on video.
There you
the
go.
Diddler inside me is breaking out. He's trying to seep out of the pores.
Is that triggering you over there? Do we need to move Slimer's ass away from you? You're going to finger it or... Jeez.
Oh, yeah, finger it. Somebody fingers Slimer's ass in this film, by the way. We'll talk about it when we get to spoilers. I was wondering if a quarter or a credit card fit into that popcorn bucket's ass cheek.
It's your nose, bud. You just slip it right in there.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Get a green nose.
You swipe it like a credit card, yeah.
But we also have Neutrino wands. We have Pakey E-meters. We have mini Stay Puffs on the table.
We got this awesome trap bucket from AMC and the Slimer buckets from Cinemark. So that was really cool. I don't know. You guys want to talk about that first?
Yeah.
Some of the promotional stuff.
I like when they do that shit. Why not?
I'm kind of upset we didn't get any Ecto Cooler this year.
Yeah.
We didn't get it for Afterlife either. Oh, you know what happened? Hi-C was like, we're only going to give Ecto Cooler to certain people. And it's like, fuck you. Like, release it. We did that Ecto Cooler video. We drank that 2016 one because we were trying to get Hi-C to send us the new Ecto Cooler.
Oh, that was the antithesis. And then we drank brown fucking Ecto Cooler on
It still tasted good.
Check out that video. Yeah. It's criminally underwatched. Please watch it.
That's when we first started.
High fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, oh, God, that's all it was.
You can drink that in 50 years.
I was hoping it fermented. You catch a fucking buzz from that.
Oh, not bad. Yeah.
I wouldn't need a buzz on that damn hot chip. Talk about Halloween that we had. Talk about another food-related video, the Halloween Ends review.
Well, next time when we do the one chip challenge, we'll chug it with some 2016
There is no next time. Ecto. Never happening again. I'll sit there and watch you and the mouse in your pocket, and I'll take notes on what happens.
Sean. You fucking say that joke, or you take my joke and you ruin it every time. Every time.
I'm glad it gets a rise out of you.
Son of a bitch. But yeah, for Ghostbusters Afterlife, they did the Hi-C thing and it was super limited or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really get to, we got the cereal.
I thought it was okay for Afterlife, which is fine.
We also did a review on that. Go check that out. Ghostbusters Afterlife cereal. But for this one, they did it right. They got these awesome trap buckets for AMC. They got the Slimer mold bucket for Cinemark. You got pins when you went there. They had three different flavor ices. They had like Slimer's back, which was like a green apple.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. I saw that. Yeah,
and then
yeah.
the red and blue ones were just
the normal
raspberry. Yeah, and they were like Ecto One Cherry, and this is blueberry.
Well,
it was still fun.
Yeah.
Sure.
But it was cool, and it was cool to get some of that stuff. And
they also had mini Stay Puff drink.
The drink cups, which is upstairs. I didn't put on the table, which was cool, and you can spin the head around if you wanted to make it mean or nice. God.
I mean, they are kind of demonic, these little creatures, so that lines up.
Exorcist. There was a lot of theater shit, because there's like another bucket and another cup with like Slimer on it, and then there's like an exclusive cup and all the shit. So that's kind of cool, and you know how I love my gimmick stuff.
Yeah, we know.
No shit. What?
Oh, yeah. Oops.
In fact, you got from Ghostbusters 2, you kind of see in almost every episode the balloons for the kids.
Hot beverage thermal mugs. Right. Come on. Yeah.
And don't forget, balloons for the
kids.
Free
balloons for the kids.
Yeah.
Egon's phenomenal acting, as we all know. Yeah.
But that was a really cool takeaway.
So it's cool. You know what it is, too, to comment on that?
Yeah.
You don't see that. This isn't Star Wars. I get it's
sure
because you compare it to something like Star Wars, right? Yeah. It's an iconic, movie series, movie franchise that's coming out again. But this is in nerd culture, right? Yeah. Versus like Star Wars is breached the periphery. It's reached out beyond. Mm-hmm. It's so specific. Ghostbusters. There's so many Ghostbuster fans that aren't necessarily, I don't know. I guess maybe Star Wars has its avenue, but Ghostbusters is such a niche, and to see this stuff for such a niche thing that we all live
in comparison,
it feels personal to us, which is great because I think I've seen the movie Ghostbusters more than
any other movie.
I'm in the top 0.001% of people who have seen that movie.
You might have me beat. Yeah, me and him are fighting at the top of that.
We were talking about, because when I was a kid, I would just watch it on repeat.
Oh, on repeat, dude.
Getting the nostalgia of this type stuff that it makes me feel my childhood. This was at the movie theater last weekend, and I'm like, shit, that's so cool.
It's so awesome.
This is my Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah.
It's really cool.
And seeing a lot of people in uniform in the theater. Not everybody, but like 10% of the audience. That's pretty cool.
A lot of uniform. A couple guys had the red, the coats.
Which was a bit of a guys had them. Cockties, I'll say, but get there.
I think there was one red coat in the whole movie, but
there was an orange coat.
They should have put that on there.
We'll talk about it. But no, to your point though, it's so great. You know, a lot of people say like all these fucking nerds and it's nostalgia blind and all this bullshit. It's like, dude, like it makes us feel good. in this world.
I'm a fan. I love fan service.
Yeah, in this world that pretty much sucks, especially right now, mm-hmm. like, it's fun to be able to be like, I'm going to go see this Ghostbusters movie and get a fucking Ghostbusters drink
fun.
And a Ghostbusters popcorn bucket and have a good time at the movies because I need an hour and a half to fucking chill out and not think about bullshit.
Exactly.
Right?
Also, like, the popcorn buckets in general, I feel like I've been getting crazier lately. I mean, not that we even have to comment on it, but the Dune one, I feel like everyone and the mother is...
They were sold out when I went. I was pissed.
That boy's, that boy's
Damn,
upstairs.
You got one. They were like, oh, we don't have one. I was very upset. I might have to.
SNL even did a skit on it, but Joe, you were on our friend Tony from Hack the Movie Show, and even as you and Crystal and himself on the thumbnail of his YouTube video with the bucket.
Go check that out, by the way.
Is it going to go on your OnlyFans next?
Well, what happened was...
It's going Tony's.
I don't know if anybody saw the picture, but on Instagram, I was fucking my Dune bucket while looking at Slimer's ass, so it was a 2-for-1 deal there.
And I saw a photo...
What a day for you.
I know, it was great.
A Photoshop, I wish
Bustin' makes me feel good.
I wish it was real, but...
Done it for all of us.
I wish it was real, but there's someone did a Photoshop image of the sandworm from Beetlejuice for Beetlejuice 2. That's going to be the sand.
Oh, yeah.
Or the popcorn bucket. So really get your Johnson inside of there. I mean, think about that. Cut out the bottom of this slime or the back of the asshole and stick it through. I mean, you're going to surprise somebody.
You're going to slide that sandworm right up there, yeah.
Good. Two sandworms in 1 year. This is gonna,
it's possible.
2024, the year of the sandworm with Beetlejuice coming.
There's even a sandworm in One Piece currently without going deep into it.
Now we just need another Tremors movie to come out in theaters, and then we got the trifecta.
Well, we lost Fred Ward. Maybe Kevin Bacon will go in for one last.
Oh, I think Burt Gummer. That's a different show altogether.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, guys, Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. We're going to go around what we usually do on a ripe review. We just give our general thoughts, and then we'll get into the spoilers, and then we'll talk about the ins and outs and pick it apart a little bit. So why don't we start with you, Sean?
Yes. Before we pick at Slimer's asshole.
Finger it.
Yes,
you
got
to be nice to that ass.
Okay. I like this movie. But I did not love this movie. I did have a very good time sitting in the theater. I did go see it with my brothers, with Michael and my other brother, Kyle. That kind of elevated a little just for me personally because I don't get to do that often just because I'm either busy or it's not a movie I'm interested in sometimes. But it's Ghostbusters. You had to see it in theaters.
I know how much it means to you guys. And to see the three of you at the theater together, it warmed my heart. It was very sweet.
Well, I love to hear it.
That's nice. Yeah.
Cinematography in this is pretty good. I feel like I always kind of fall back on that. But it's noticeable. It's well done. Especially some of those action sequences. They're kind of getting in there. They're getting under the Ecto-1, which we saw that in Afterlife. I was kind of expecting that level of cinematography. And we kind of get it in this. I feel like we get a little less of it overall than the last film, but still very well done. The lighting and the effects are incredible in this. I think there might be one effect that's a bit of a spoiler that I don't know if it holds up for the entire runtime. I like what they're trying to do with a ghost character, I guess is all I'll say for right this second, but I think it kind of gets some dodgy green screen shit around the edges for a movie that they spent a lot of money on. That kind of makes me scratch my head, like, was this done during COVID? No, it wasn't, because the first one was done during COVID. So what's the fucking excuse on that? Beyond that, I don't have a ton else to say that's outside of spoilers. I guess all the actors in this are good.
All's a strong word, Sean.
All of our main characters are good. There are some fringe characters that are secondary characters. I guess you're not wrong. They kind of are like, what are they even in this for?
Yeah.
And I'll expand on that shortly. But our primary cast is very good. And I guess that's it. I don't know. I can't say much else.
Yeah. So I kind of agree with Sean where I liked it. And I've said this to both of you guys off the jump. I think there is a good movie to be made out of this movie. You can reconstruct this movie and make it a very good movie, in my opinion. You got a good villain. You got good heart to the sense of, you know, you got the heart of the Ghostbusters is back and prevalent in the movie,
Ray's
which I love. Ray, I mean, I love Bill Murray and Venkman, and he's great, but Ray is the heart of the Ghostbusters. They say it, and it's true. They say it in the first movie, and it's true, though. And, you know, every scene he's in, I love. And you know what the set piece is? Like the setting? Like, I don't think this is spoilers. They go to the library.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the library set piece, they go downstairs, is so cool.
That's cool.
I think it looks great. They're down there with Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt. Yeah.
And that looks incredible. Really cool set pieces. And like you said, I think it's shot very well.
Hmm.
So that's the positive. And the negative, I just think it's clunky. And that's, you know, we'll get into why and what builds that. But it's a clunky mess.
Yeah.
It's not put together very well. But overall, you know, I enjoyed it. I had a good time watching the movie. I liked it. And, you know, it's encouraging to the sense of, you know, they, like I said, they gave love to Ghostbuster franchise, but man, I wish they could have put it together better in post-production, I guess is my overall comment. I feel post-production hurt this film.
Really?
Okay, I really do.
That's got, yeah, no, I agree with that.
Maybe. So. I'll come right out and say it. I enjoyed it. You know, the punchline of this episode is, was it the Ghostbusters sequel that we were promised? I don't know if it really fulfills that end of the bargain or if it kind of, if that was the goal. I'm going to echo what you said. Well, there is a good movie in here and there is a good premise and I like it for the most part. It gets bogged down by too much shit and stuff. And not only like retreading of stuff, but like other things that don't need to be expanded upon.
Right.
We kind of did that in the last movie. The last movie was, let's introduce the new characters. We're already with them. You know what I mean? You already sold me on it. You don't need to go any deeper than that. And I feel like we're spending too much time doing that instead of getting to the main meat and potatoes, which we should be focusing on. Or like, it still kind of feels half-baked all the way. It still kind of feels half-baked because it's like, I feel like they should be more established in this movie, and I think that's what this one suffers from. But I did have a good time with it. The effects are good. I do like them. I really appreciate a practical Slimer. That's not a spoiler because he's in the trailers.
Yeah, that was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, he was practical.
Slimer looked great,
and I thought that was awesome. Yeah. He doesn't really fucking have anything to do or reason to be there, but it's cool that he was there and he was practical for sure. Again, and I liked the bad guy too. He was cool, and it felt when I saw the trailer for this, that was the first thing I thought. I was like, "Holy shit, this is a real Ghostbusters episode."
Oh yeah, you even right? said that.
That was like the first thing that jumped in my head. I was like, "This is what this feels like." And I think I said on our Afterlife review that it was like, "I'm good on Ghostbusters. If we get anything else and it's good, it's a bonus. It's
gravy,
right? Sure. It's a bonus for me." So, because I got the Ghostbusters to come back, I saw them on screen again. So, like, this movie is kind of a bonus for me, and it was cool to see it go in the direction of a real Ghostbusters episode because that's kind of what it felt like, and it kind of does that effectively, which we'll get into. But yeah, it was good. I wanted to love it. I really wanted to go and be like, man, that was fucking great.
Yeah,
and I didn't.
Right. I guess that's just before we get into spoilers, just if it's not already clear based on what I just said a couple minutes ago. But it was the last film I liked on a rewatch. I think there's a couple more things that bothered me more than my initial viewing, but still very well made overall.
Funny you said that. It bothered me less when I rewatched this.
Little shit. It was like most of that Ray is a cult scene, which we even talked about on that review. And I feel like most people are kind of like, yeah, why did Ray not believe Egon? But this one...
You don't know what happened for 25 years.
Exactly. Sure, sure. Yeah,
exactly.
But this one, I definitely walked out of more disappointed, more like instantly questioning things, whereas I feel like that's a bad sign. Still liked it, but that kind of threw me for a loop. I was not expecting that response.
And to that point, you know, talk about comparing Afterlife to Frozen Empire. Afterlife, I like a lot. I think it's very good.
Sure.
And I think the reason behind it is it's... That movie is made for Harold Ramis.
Sure.
Let's be real. That's that is a love letter to a kid. Jason Reitman made this movie and he knew Harold Ramis his whole life.
Yeah.
He knew him. He's in Ghostbusters too. He's in the freaking movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so he's been around this guy and he's been around this franchise his whole life. And there's less comedy in that movie, right? And there's
it's
more heart to it. There's some good jokes in it, but it's more heart, right? And that's why that one I give a pass to less comedy because that was a direction that director is known for, more family drama.
Drama stuff,
he made freaking Juno. Talking about family drama.
And the guy who directed this movie or Frozen Empire wrote.
Yeah, he worked with him.
They worked together.
Yeah.
So like to the sense, but this one didn't have that heart at all. And it wanted to be more fun and more Ghostbustery.
It definitely did.
And it wasn't. It wanted to be.
It didn't know
That's
where it wanted to go.
Yeah. It wanted to be, but it just...
It They didn't cross
it would
the
go
streams.
In that direction. Yeah. Yeah, it would go in that direction, and then you'd be bored for 5 minutes, and then you go, oh, this is good. Hey, there's Ray. Oh, we're back to character 9.
Yeah. Yeah,
character 37 on the screen again.
Right. Uh-huh. And I feel like we're very quickly
we're very close.
Yeah. So I think we're at that point where spoilers are happening. So if you haven't... Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to say something else?
No, I was just going to say we all... liked it well enough, but it could be better. And now we're gonna we're gonna get into why we think
we'll start shitting on it.
So if you don't want spoilers, watch the movie, then come back. But if you're like
set
us,
a time cue,
and you don't care, here come the fucking spoilers. Where do we begin? I guess I'm gonna just kick this off.
Go for it.
Why is Finn Wolfhard in these movies? Is it just like we sign this guy because he's hot?
Yes.
And now we don't know what the fuck to do with him?
It's 100% that.
Both of those are true.
He played a Ghostbuster in the Stranger Things for Halloween.
For one
and
second.
And they were like, how do we get the kid? How do we get younger kids to go see this? Oh, put Finn Wolfhard in.
Because I was really thinking about that. And we'll get into it more in a second. Yeah. But like that in particular, I was like, okay, the first one, or Afterlife, I guess technically Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, he's got to drive the Ecto. Because if they're going to have the Ecto, Mom or Paul Rudd ain't going to drive it.
Which
okay,
is,
fine.
Which is still such a great scene.
It was great. When he drives through the cornfield, it's freaking awesome.
It's awesome.
I love it.
But this one is just kind of like, well, he's the older sibling, but beyond that, it's just like, we don't know. I guess he's going to like pick Slimer's asshole because he's like seeping through the ceiling and we have Slimer. So I guess we're just going to have him do the B or C storyline with Slimer.
It answers the question.
Like the F storyline.
Yeah. It answers the question that Joe said earlier. Why is Slimer in this movie? They're in it for each other.
I guess so.
Give Finn Wolfhard something to do. Yeah. Fuck it. We got Slimer.
Let's put
them together.
Yeah. He's still there from back when Louis Tully was batting.
And
batting
you didn't only want
him.
One of the kids to fuck a ghost. So Finn Wolfhard actually fucked a ghost.
Yes.
So, you know,
that was the thing. You know how Ray gets a blowjob in the original?
Just like Ray.
Just like Ray.
He's
giving him a slime job. Yeah.
I don't want to jump right into this topic. There's a few other things I want to cover, or maybe if you guys want to cover first, but I think McKenna Grace was about to fuck a ghost, but we didn't quite get there.
Oh, geez, man. Well, that's like a whole nother.
Yeah.
That's
a big ball of wax. Let's unravel some of the parts of the onion first. Let's wrap up
the Finn Wolfhard stuff because it's such a small part of this movie, and he's only there because the family's there.
Bingo.
And like,
because they're in the firehouse.
Well, here's the thing. Like, the whole reason they're there is because I was wondering what this was going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole reason they're there is because Winston buys the firehouse back
at the end of the afterlife.
At the end of Afterlife. Mm-hmm. And the whole catharsis of this movie is that the containment unit is going to it's too full. It's going to blow open if they don't drain it, right?
Because that was the last shot of the last movie.
Got to drain those ghost balls.
Got to drain the balls.
Yeah. Or else you're going to have a problem. So unbeknownst to everybody, they were working on a whole new containment unit and like
at an abandoned aquarium.
At an abandoned, which is not, look, I don't have a problem with that, but like, you're telling me that the Spanglers didn't know or like they wasn't explained to them for 2 fucking years?
Bingo.
Right, Mike, exactly. Well, or Joe, rather, both of you.
And he's like, it's almost like Winston's doing them a solid by being like, look, we don't want you living out in Oklahoma or whatever in that shitty rundown place, and Paul Rudd can't afford to keep you in his apartment, so we're going to move you into the firehouse.
I thought they were going to do like a 2016 thing.
Yeah.
Honestly, at first, I think I went over to Michael in the theater and was like, hey, Ghostbusters 2016, where's Melissa McCarthy and her one wonton?
Because
they have the firehouse, like you're setting up, and you're thinking at the end of that last movie, he's going to start Ghostbusters Inc., or he's going to bring the Ghostbusters back in some capacity.
But it's home base at firehouse.
But they just live on the second and third floor and like have it blocked off so you can't actually go on the bottom floor. I'm thinking the bottom floor is going to be where they're ghost busting or where they have this new containment unit, but no, it's just empty storage space where they put the Ecto-1 and some paperwork.
Well,
and that's
it's a garage.
It.
It's the garage where like Janine's desk is and shit.
But I was expecting, and maybe that's on me, but I'm expecting like new Ghostbusters or like Paul Rudd's in charge or some shit. It's like, nope, they just live there now. And I guess they're kind of Ghostbusters and Slimer came with the fucking the place.
Well,
but no one knows he's up there because he's covered
been
in
there
garbage.
The whole time. I mean, Slimer scared the bejesus out of, you know, Lewis in Ghostbusters 2.
True.
He's just been in the attic the whole time. Nobody caught him.
Well, they're stealing everybody's fucking snacks.
Well,
What happened?
That was so funny. When he's eating the Cheetos and they come out of his ass. He eats some of these fucking right through him. The Cheetos just fall through his body.
Disgusting blob. He's like Maurice eating the Doritos yes. and Little Monsters.
Yeah.
I guess to your point, because we could talk about the whole firehouse thing, but to back to Finn Wolfhard, he's trying to catch Slimer.
Well, to your point, though, they're operating as the Ghostbusters.
Right, well, yeah.
And their business is still going, but they're the only Ghostbusters busting ghosts.
Right, Paul Rudd.
And it's
the mom.
Callie, who's the mom. Paul Rudd, who's, what is his name, McGruber?
Gruberson. Greg. Gruberson. Is it Gruberson or Gruberson?
Gruberson.
There is an R in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Trevor. Gary, Trevor, and Phoebe, and they're like...
Not Paige. I called her Paige like 20 times in the last review. It's fucking Phoebe, Sean, you idiot.
Who's Trevor?
Trevor is Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah, see, there you go.
That's an issue. Right. That's an issue.
Okay, so I guess to finish that thought before you finish the Slimer thought, it's like you think they'd have a crew or something, but no, it's just they move into the firehouse, and then it's like... I thought there was a 2-year passage of time, but it feels like that's literally the first time they went out for a test run, and they basically do the exact same fucking scene from Afterlife where they're in the car catching the ghost, and she's in the fucking thing that swings out.
Which is cool.
She almost hits the cars, but she barely dodges it, which I was kind of anticipating them to like one-up that and be like, oh, there's some new technology you don't know about yet, but they don't.
Well, you get the drone trap.
Well, that's the fucking NES game, the fucking ghost vacuum on the top. I thought of AVGN instantly.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a good sequence because it's like this kind of like eel ghost.
It's
I'm kind of like, this is the Hell's Kitchen sewer dragon.
Too
much like the Muncher scene to me. And it's also just like, by the way, now William Atherton, Walter Peck, I should say, is the mayor.
Dickless. There's a Dickless mayor, dude.
Dickless.
But like they like opened up William Atherton's fucking coffin and sprayed some water on him. Like, please get on the set because this guy is phoning it in. Like nobody's. Maybe he's just really fucking.
I don't think he's phoning it in, Sean.
I just think he sucks.
Can somebody tell me how the fuck Peck became the mayor?
Motherfucker's
in jail.
No, because if we remember Ghostbusters 2, they got sued out the ass. So I'm leading the charge against them.
I forgot. You're right.
But man, I'm sorry not to just go all over the place. I wouldn't even finish the Slimer thought, but goddamn, Peck as the mayor was just rough. I couldn't believe how bad he was.
How could Ghostbusters be operating if Peck's the mayor? Peck would immediately be like, no.
I've been waiting 50 years to nail your ass. But like, I'm giving it more emotion than William Atherton. He's just like, you're a miner and you're shooting this laser beam, and I don't think that's right. And I'm not going to arrest you or anything. I'm just going to say it's bad.
There's none of that. There's none of that. Like,
you're grounded.
You better shut him down. I'm going to shut him down for you. Like, there's no like real
there's
like
no
headbutting.
Intimidating.
No,
he's not intimidating.
No,
he doesn't feel like the character.
Why would they
at
listen?
All.
I don't know. They don't. Well, spoilers.
They do. They don't let Phoebe be a Ghostbuster.
Oh, that's right.
So they listen.
And they're
the big thing with the miner. So. That's the part that frustrated me about the basement or whatever the
bottom floor.
No, the research center.
Oh, right. Okay.
So Phoebe can't be a Ghostbuster. Why wouldn't Winston? She's a genius.
Yeah.
Why isn't Winston be like, I got something for you to do. Come with me.
Let's work
and
on
fucking
this.
Go work with this British dude.
Go work with James Acaster, which I like James Acaster.
Me too, but
we were watching Taskmaster, and it's the first time I saw him.
Yeah.
With me and my wife were, and I was like, holy shit, there's James Acaster. I don't know what he's doing in this movie, but it's nice to see him.
Yeah.
Why are you doing it?
Because I'm punk.
Have all the characters. Ray, like Michael mentions, really important, but we have that character. We also have Lucky has to come back for some reason.
Man.
Podcast has to be there for some. I like Podcast, but he's got to be there for some reason.
Podcast is fun. Lucky's the one that's stretching it for me.
But if Lucky's allowed to work for Winston in this aquarium Ghostbuster facility, why? Like you just said,
why isn't Phoebe?
Why can't Phoebe?
Yeah.
Why is there this
Podcast is with Ray.
He's with Ray doing his ghost show.
And Lucky's with Winston.
Which is pretty fucking funny.
How
actually.
Funny was that when he's like doing the you need to like and subscribe.
That was good. That was
so
bit.
Funny. I like that.
But just to get back to the original thought, there's just too many fucking characters in this movie. What is the point of the British guy other than like just have it be Lucky? What is the point of Finn Wolfhard? Just eliminate this fucking character. He's pointless other than it's Finn Wolfhard.
This isn't Philly Matters. You can't just eliminate children.
Well, they're already on the second film. They can't go in
Who's
reverse.
That kid again?
He's already a character. It's too late. But give him something better to do than just...
Same with Patton Oswalt. Why is he in it? I mean, I love him, but why is he in it?
Thank goodness it was just like a glorified cameo, by the way. But like, that's Ray's job. If Egon, if Egon is not there anymore, it is Ray's job to do that. Right. And you get a little taste of Logan Kim in the first one, looking up all the Gozer stuff in the book. Why isn't Logan Kim, or podcast rather, podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why isn't he?
Him and Ray should have discovered it.
Well,
that, that's another thing.
And Ray should have been like, I know what this fucking thing is that you brought into me.
Or like, vaguely, let me go in Tobin Spirit Guide and find it or something.
Yeah, no Tobin Spirit Guide, by the way.
The ice version of the Landman configuration. This fucking orb that freezes people, the freeze of death, which I thought was actually an interesting
concept. The death chill, which is cool. Oh, but, we didn't even mention real quick, in the beginning, it like it's like in the 40s, I think?
20s.
Or the 20s?
Something like that.
That was cool. Yeah. I was like, this feels cool.
There's like Michael was kind of saying, I think Joe, you even said it to some extent before. We got into spoilers, but there's a lot of good ideas here because I like this ghost that comes out of, again, like this Hellraiser box. But then you also have to add all these weird elements onto it, which if it wasn't Ghostbusters, if this was just his own movie, I think it would be pretty interesting. And I think it does go in some directions for comedic effect that it ends up working, even if I don't love the actual plot point. Mm-hmm. But you have this fire walker, this fire master who can control the ghost inside the orb. And that's the only way you could stop this ghost. Oh, it's not a ghost. It's actually a demon. Which, what is this thing's name? Garak or Garak?
Garaka.
But basically, it's trapped inside this prison.
But, I'm sorry, real quick. Kumail Nanjiani?
Yes, Kumail, yeah.
Who's
the ancestor of this fire master.
I like him.
Yeah, and stuff. He's Radim Rasmadi, who is the descendant of one of the fire masters who put Garaka in the thing.
So I've rethought about this. She's the one holding the orb, his grandmother,
in the beginning.
Yeah. So
wearing the
dress. Yeah. So his grandmother's in the movie.
Yeah.
Yes. But back then, in this flashback that opens the film, all these guys get killed in this, like, you know, ghost group or whatever, and it's this this recording that this chant that summons him out of the orb,
which is really cool. I really like this.
I love that. I like that a lot, but then I feel like they don't utilize it well, and then it just kind of becomes a major plot device right at the end of the film.
It takes so long.
I kind of wish it just wasn't part of the movie. And he's actually a character I enjoyed quite a bit of every time he was on screen. He had a funny one-liner, and he's always like, oh, "That's not for sale. That's a priceless antique." Yeah. But how much?
Which is kind of funny.
He has good character quirks.
He's funny.
That's what I kind of am sitting there thinking as I'm watching the movie, just to kind of get back to a thought I put out there earlier, is just like, why wasn't it just Paul Rudd? This guy, even it could have been Patton Oswalt, even though he's just there for his cameo. Like, some of these other actors, like, why weren't they just the new Ghostbusters and you have Phoebe? Maybe you still have the element where she's a minor, she can't be out there, but she's working in the lab, or she has this side story that we'll talk about in a moment. But I just felt like you have all these interesting characters, but there's just too fucking many of them, so that when you get a minute of this character here, you're like, oh, that was pretty funny. Like, I think Michael even was saying, it's like you have these peaks and valleys constantly throughout these films because they don't know who to focus on. Like, I hope that's all making sense.
It is making sense.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Phoebe thing, because that's like the main beat of this story. And it's like a coming of age movie. And it's like, I don't really need that. We kind of did it already.
We did that already.
Where she discovered who she was.
That
was the first movie.
Afterlife.
And like, I understand that she's becoming a young woman and she's going to be 17 or like, you know, going through puberty and stuff. But like, and discovering herself as a person, but I don't know if that really has a place here. And they try to work it in with like this female ghost character who she's like smitten by, who she thinks is Harold Ramis at the beginning. She thinks it's Egon playing chess with her.
Grandpa? Is that you?
Grandpa. that annoyed me at first, but then when it was a different ghost, I was like, all right.
We're not doing this again, are we?
Chess again? Again?
Yeah.
How many ghosts did she play chess against now?
And also, I swear to God, I thought for the whole movie it was Jenna Ortega until I looked it up, and I was like, oh, no, it's not her. I was like, man, Jenna Ortega phoned
this in. At the end of the movie, Sean's like, well, Jenna Ortega was pretty good. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Jenna Ortega's not this movie? Did I miss something?
Oh, my God.
But there is kind of like, I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I don't know if it's like they just want to be friends, or there's this kind of underlying romantic
angle. Romantic.
I thought they were going to fucking tongue ghost kiss. They were going to ghost tongue kiss at one point. Because
they go so far as to have McKenna Grace basically turn herself into a ghost with this contraption that Winston had made with like Ray and Egon's specs from years ago, and is like, yeah, I could separate my body just for like 2 minutes.
Well, Sean, it is easier to fuck when you're on the same dimensional plane.
Right. This is true.
So
I don't know. Ray didn't have a problem.
That's
again,
true.
That's a good point. Damn. Well, that was a Poltergeist.
Okay.
So, and Ghostbusters 2016, not to keep referencing it, but like we have much, but there's Mr. Slimer and Mrs. Slimer in that film, so they're getting it on. I don't know how they kind of how that works. A lot of squishiness.
Mr. Slimer and Mrs. Slimer.
You forgot about that, right?
I pink forgot Slimer about that, I'll tell you
for
that.
Pink lipstick or something.
Oh, she's got a bow or some shit? I don't know.
But this character, Melody, who it's implied burned down her family's diner or killed her family in a fire.
By the way, I'm going to stop you for a second. Why isn't Melody the fire master? She accidentally used her fire powers to burn down the restaurant and kill her parents.
She had pyrokinesis.
Yeah, but didn't realize it or something. Again, I don't know. You didn't need so many characters.
Mike, they hired Kumail.
Mike, she's there to light a match.
So that she could stay on this planet.
Well, that's her good deed.
That's her top from Inception top.
It's her good deed to go on to the next to the afterlife.
Yeah.
TM.
But this is the character I feel like that what I was kind of joking about earlier with the bad green screen. I don't know. I guess they're trying to make it look like a ghost with the wispiness, but it just looks like a bad transparency.
She's like on fire. She's like on fire.
She looked okay.
She's fine.
It holds up kind of crappy in a few shots, but I guess it's a nitpick in the scheme of things. Generally speaking, I do think the effects are very good in this.
The effects I don't have a problem with. What I have a problem with is the fucking storyline.
Well, the story's stupid.
And it's like, you're telling me that Garaka seeked out Melody.
This ghost in particular,
To influence Phoebe in some roundabout way to go to this new containment to fucking kill herself so that he can possess Phoebe to speak the words through the person to let him out. Like, it's so convoluted. Because
he can only control ghosts, and like, he tries to control her, but for some reason, she can resist it, but, well, then I'll just make this human do it instead. And you're right, it's kind of like...
A human needs to speak the words.
So it's like a combination.
And the cylinder broke, which is a whole thing at the library, which we can talk about if you want.
We can, sure, like, because they have the recording they get from the library where they see the library ghost, and it's kind of a great callback where Ray is fucking walking past these rows of books, and he sees it, and he's like, whoa, and then jumps at him. I'm like, okay.
GVD,
okay.
Man.
Hey, she recognized him and said, oh, I'm coming for you.
I was thinking GVD, I think I even said that in the theater, taking her clothes off.
Yeah.
But we do get that Patton Oswalt scene because they're trying to find more information, and
which is cool. I like it.
I like that scene a lot.
Yeah, because
in the library.
Yeah,
because nobody can read the orb, the text,
which
on the
is
orb.
Cool, and that's a core thing with Ghostbusters, with the lore of the big bad, you know, which is cool, and I liked it. I thought it was fine. Patton Oswalt does not overstay his welcome, and it's totally fine.
Yeah, he's great.
I feel like they should have come out front on that. I mean, I don't mind Patton Oswalt, but I know there's like a sect of the internet that can't stand the man. I guess because of his things he said politically, he could have just came out and said, I'm in three scenes. I shot for like a week. Yeah. It's not that big of a fuck. I mean, he doesn't have to come out and say that, but it's just crazy to me. They're like, God damn, Patton Oswalt's ruined. It's like he's in two scenes and he's fine.
He's fine. But it's weird that it's like Patton Oswalt does it and not
Ray
or podcast. Even. And I'm like,
Ray's like perplexed to hear some of this.
Ray flip flops. And I'm like, you're the fucking guy. You're the occult bookstore owner. You know the lore just as well as Egon did.
How does Patton Oswalt live in this universe and know more than Ray Stantz?
And Ray doesn't... Well, Ray's like, oh, I know a guy or whatever. And it's like, but Ray, you got a handle on this, dude. Like, why do you need his help?
I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I feel like part of this character is almost like played up as a joke. And I feel like Aykroyd holds his character so dear to his heart that maybe that's not the case. But it's like, well, he's just kind of nuts, right? He's like on podcast show and he just sounds crazy because Dan Aykroyd has these same kind of things in real life. And it's like meta because he's like into aliens and shit, right?
It's just a way for them to get to the fucking library.
I guess.
That's all it is.
Yeah, and then they get the information, and they have this kind of cool scene where, like...
The Ecto-C is pretty cool.
Well, Ecto-C is cool with that kind of... That got me jumping out of my seat with the motorcycle.
Awesome. Yeah.
But we have this one ghost who gets out of... Again, they have ghosts just trapped behind electromagnetic fields.
Well, it's behind the same stuff that they use the traps.
I thought that was pretty cool.
It's the same tech as the traps, which makes sense.
It was just incredibly stupid from the character standpoint to just have these... this one ghost that could just touch things and manipulate them. Let's keep it in this fucking room that if the power goes out, it'll get out and it'll be the worst thing that could possibly happen.
That little bastard caused a blackout in 1977.
And this shadow demon that they never do anything with that looks pretty intimidating, but the thing fucking escapes, of course, when the big bad gets out, which, you know, that happens, of course. And then it's just like touching shit, going all over the place. It turns into the lion after it finds out what the it gets the chant. And it breaks the original recording, and now it has the recording, so it doesn't need the original, so they're chasing it. But it takes over the lion, the famous lion, and I like this scene, but it also kind of pissed me off, because it's like, Ray like is like, hit the button on the car, and Finn Wolfhard flips the switch.
Well, podcast.
Oh, podcast, you're right. And then it's a fucking, it looks like a laser beam just comes out of the side cart. But it's just an extra neutrino wand.
Yeah, it's a proton. Yeah.
She grabs proton it and shoots the fucking line and it explodes. And then, you know, Walter Peck's like, what the hell? You're a minor. I said you can't do this. You're going to go to jail. But no one's like,
why isn't Ray defending them?
Right. I don't know.
Ray's just sitting there in the back eating his fucking Twizzlers.
To Winston in the hallway. He's like, you don't understand, Winston. Like, this shit's going to happen. He's like, I don't give a fuck. And it's like, wasn't this the plot of the first movie? And like, it's
roles reversed.
It's always this thing where it's like,
now Winston doesn't believe him.
Yeah, and it's like, what? You fucking rode the Statue of Liberty into a fucking thing and like defeated this guy in a painting,
which they actually showed this time. They actually acknowledged too in this film in a larger presence.
You were there when the fucking Gozer tornado was going to destroy the world, and you were there at the top of the fucking Evo Shandor building when Gozer was going to come to the inside. Why would this be any different?
Correct.
You know,
I guess we didn't even say it. We're kind of just talking about scenes here, but it's a ripe. We're kind of just jumping.
Yeah.
But the plot is hanging on by a fucking thread this entire film.
And it doesn't need to be that way. Yeah. We're dicking around with so many interpersonal relationships that we already covered the ground with. Like, you could tone that down less and give me some more motherfucking ghost busting, because we don't really do that.
Bingo.
We don't. And there's like, again, that opening scene, I compared it to Spider-Man, either on or off the air, I forget, but it made me think of Spider-Man 2 or 3, where it's like, okay, they've been doing it now. People know who they are. And it's like, no, this is like their first time out. They shoot a taxi and some signs and they're instantly in trouble, which it's like, okay, then why did you open this up like they're badasses? But no, they're not. And then the whole movie, they're still not. And then we finally have this like apocalyptic kind of event happening with this monster demon guy coming back. And it's like, all right, now we're all going to get in uniform. We're going to get Venkman back again. There's actually a pretty funny Venkman
Ernie
scene.
Hudson, I believe you.
And now
I'm
believes
back at the, I'm back at the firehouse after the fucking, the entire of New York City is frozen over.
Right, after the trailer scene they had to put in there awkwardly. It made no sense for the placement of. But what I'm saying is, we have all these sequences where there's characters being the characters. Like, Venkman even does the card thing again. It's funny, but he does it again. And it's like, all right, sure, bring him back for that. No Sigourney this time, though. And then it's like he shows up at the end when shit's hitting the fan. There's like this weird gag where it's like the door opens and there's no one there. And it's like, oh my God, is it the ghost? Is it the bad guy? No, it's just Venkman. And he like steps out of like the door and he's like, hey, I got my orange jacket on from the, remember the first one when I had the jacket on? I think that's the reference.
I guess.
I'm here. I care more than the last
one,
I guess.
How the fuck did he get there? We have a
I don't know, he fucking surfed
the road's
down the
all
ice
frozen.
Road.
Yeah, and
we
he's
have
like
ice skating down.
We have a Dark Knight Rises issue here. How did Batman get back into Gotham? Look at that. How the fuck did Venkman get to the firehouse?
Venkman's not necessarily part of the Ghostbusters anymore.
No. Where does he live?
I don't know.
He's just retired.
He's just
out
in Midtown Manhattan.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this must be.
By the way, like,
they're up to it again. I guess I got to go save the world again or something.
Yeah.
Although he does have his own office in the research center.
Yeah. Well,
I guess he does live in the city.
He performs the test on Nadim. He performs the test on Nadim in the Ghostbusters headquarters. That's not the firehouse.
Which I like the stuff with that where it's like he can bend fire and he has the lighter and he's putting it on the candle, which I don't know how then he goes from a fireball from just moving light into a candle wick, but
light
okay.
Light the candle. Well, because, okay.
It's like a mental thing, I guess.
Let's just talk about that real quick.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
So
the firebending?
The firebending the lore surrounding the main bad guy, who we get, it's peppered through the film, but like it's too little too late for me personally. But it's really cool, and Nadim's great grandmother was like
protecting
it all in this tin and brass like covered room.
Yeah,
soundproof too, because this thing lets off like a energy pulse every once in a while that controls
ghosts,
right?
And manipulates ghosts because he wants to build an army of ghosts to destroy mankind. but he's also Frost. He's like the Frost ghost.
Yeah, which is definitely not like a real Ghostbusters episode that we're going to cover on patreon.com/moviedumpster. Definitely not similar at all.
Not
no,
at all.
Very
not,
different.
Not why we chose to do it at all. I don't know. I like all of that
stuff. No, I do. I don't want to just be complaining, but I just feel like I don't have a ton of positive beyond what we already said. Well, I guess there's a few more things we'll mention.
The villain, to your point, yeah. Getting to the villain in general, I think the villain was really cool.
I thought he was cool.
Right, to your point, like yeah. The ball, the orb,
yeah, that was cool.
Cool. They kept going to it throughout yeah. The movie. Different characters.
Cool.
chill. It was chill.
Yeah.
The different characters interacted with it.
Yeah.
You know, British yeah. man. What the hell is it?
James Acaster?
Yeah.
I think what the fuck
his hand
name
got
movie?
Frozen off.
His name's
with
Lars.
It.
Oh, yeah. That was
like,
cool.
Like, you know, it's in the first scene in mm-hmm. the, you know, in the 20s. So this ball is really the villain. It's funny. As I was thinking about it the other day, you know, it kind of reminds me of Viggo a little bit, to the sense of it's an inanimate object that eventually will become presence.
Yeah.
Yes.
The problem is why Viggo works and this doesn't really work is you see Viggo talking to
all
Janos
constantly, the whole movie.
Throughout the whole movie yeah. versus this, the ball is threatening throughout the whole movie, sure, but you don't see the, there's
one,
no real threat.
There's
you don't
no,
get it.
There,
you
there,
get right. Viggo. You get what he's trying to do. He tells you.
Exactly.
This one, which is maybe a little forward, you know, in a movie, but I don't know. This one, you don't feel like you know what the real stakes are.
You could say that Melody is the Janosch type character
yeah,
because Garaka's like, hey, I'll cross you to the other side.
I kept thinking she's a Silver Surfer. Man. She's bringing Galactus in. Literally,
right,
that kept popping in my head. Like, it's fucking Silver
Surfer. She looked like she fucking fell out of Danny Phantom, dude.
Yeah.
That's what she looks
bit,
like.
Yeah. There yeah. is that scene, though, you're right, Joe, where she's like talking to him. And it's like, it already kind of is being telegraphed at that point. But it's yeah. like the final brick being laid where she's like, oh, why is it gotta be her?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my family.
I think she's
okay.
Hot.
and then, then he's released. And I even like how he goes to the one guy's grandma's fucking house and pulls the horns off the wall and
which
puts
is
them
cool,
back.
Man.
Awesome.
And like,
that was cool.
That's part of the lore where they like ripped his horns off and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like all that Fire Master shit. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to just sound so negative on it. I just feel like then there's so much else happening in this film. It feels tacked on at the end of the day
when it
is introduced as this major lore piece. I guess that's kind of how what I've been trying to say this whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because then he's just at the firehouse practicing, and then kind of like we were kind of alluding to earlier, there's this big like, oh, all the ghosts are coming to us at the firehouse because it wants to release all the ghosts from the containment unit and use them as its
army.
And also, by the way, podcast, just because he's in the film, he brought the mini Stay Puffs with him and they're multiplying
or whatever.
And they're kind of like flubber now. They're even more minion-esque in this one. I actually liked them in the last one. This one, I'm like, all right, now these things are kind of getting annoying.
They are like the fucking canary in the coal mine, dude. That's all they're there for, to be like, oh my God, Garak is here.
Oh,
like,
when he's first, before they find out what he's all about. Because when the ball's sitting there, they keep looking towards him.
Which, like, if that was the only scene they were in, I'd be happy with
and
it.
And that's fine. And that's kind of, and like they were in the HQ.
Yeah.
Just like,
which makes sense
callback.
That they would be there.
They do
they're
literally
in a fucking post-credit scene, which I don't need, but anyway.
Yeah, but they're literally,
No.
That was horrible.
I thought that was going to be the ping pong ghost that control. You even said it.
I think it was actually controlling the car, but no, it's the fucking mini Stay Puffs.
Yeah, we thought it
truck.
Was the ping pong ghost to maybe set up another movie where that's an actual bad villain.
Or, yeah,
you could set that thing up as the
manipulator.
The manipulator is like that's a bad thing.
How about setting up another ghost in general?
Yeah,
the problem
I mean?
Because now we can finally complete the threat on Slimer is Finn Wolfhard never fucking catches him, and the manipulator's in the firehouse during the big confrontation at the end, jumping from thing to thing.
To the proton pack, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, it goes in the proton pack.
That was cool.
Jumps to the fucking pizza, and then the pizza walks off the edge of the table and Slimer eats it.
So if Slimer eats the pizza with the ghost in it, does he die? Does the ghost die again?
I guess that's why it's not at the end.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Does it live inside Slimer now?
Slimer also slimes the shit out of Finn Wolfhard at one point, and he's just covered, and he comes downstairs and is like, don't worry about it. And then he's like, all right, get it, run into the fucking fire. Doesn't even like wash off. He's like, see ya.
It's in his mouth.
It's disgusting.
That might have been the only scene where the mom actually was the same character traits as her in the first movie, where she didn't give a shit about her kids.
Oh, yeah, which is kind of funny.
Yeah,
I liked it.
She's
good in the 4 minutes that she's in this movie.
The whole you're an adult now thing was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But like, those were good gags.
Yeah,
with him and Peck, he's like, I'm 18. I'm not asking you.
What are you talking to?
That was good.
On that note, though, like, Paul Rudd's good again in this. Again, there's just too many fucking characters. They couldn't focus on everybody. Phoebe was kind of the main one they chose to focus on. part of me wonders if that's also just because she was so well received in the last one. Mm. But again, like this plot line we were talking about with this ghost, who then by the end feels bad, and then you're just kind of like whatever at that point because the world's fucking ending.
Yeah, but like Phoebe even tells her, like, you don't have to listen to this ghost.
Right.
You can, like, this is not how you pass on. Like, I've seen it before and all this shit. But, like, Melanie's never, like, necessarily controlled by Garaka. She, like, makes a deal
coherced,
with
if anything.
Well, yeah, you gotta coerced, also, Melody it's not like is has, also a 15-year-old child.
Well, yeah. Sure.
It's this the thing, too, with her and Phoebe, because I saw something on Twitter where they were like, why is Phoebe so stupid in this scene? Like, it's the one dumb thing she's ever done. Turned herself into a ghost.
Also has no friends.
She's a 15-year-old impressionable kid.
Yeah, also has no friends.
Yeah, like, she's rejected by her family, can't be a Ghostbuster anymore, hasn't been brought into the real Ghostbusting by Winston, so she's so lonesome. This is why she gets... I actually think that's one of the better plot points in the movie. Her and Melody's thing, I think I get it because they're young, impressionable kids who are lonely.
She's really smart, but she's still an angsty teen.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually... That's one of the parts I like the most.
I think that's fine, but I didn't like how it tied up.
Agreed.
You know what I mean?
I agree. I'm kind of in the same boat. I wasn't crazy about the plot line in general, but if that's the direction they're going to take, I didn't mind it. But it wraps up like shit.
Because I thought it was cute that, like, oh, okay, she's hanging out with this ghost. And that's fine.
It's cool.
But like, now that there's like a nefarious thing going on, which ties it back up together, I'm like, I don't know if I need that. Yeah. Can we just have the fucking somebody accidentally release it differently?
And I think another issue with it in general, just kind of like we were saying, like there's a really good, it makes me think of the fucking Crocodile Hunter movie on some level. Although that movie had
you gotta explain how the fuck you got
that. Movie had a lot bigger problems, but when we did that review years ago, we talked about how, like, if they didn't have all this government spy shit,
it
would have been a good movie if it was just Steve Irwin with his family going around. I mean, a little different, a nature documentary show turned into a movie compared to Ghostbusters' third, technically fourth sequel, if you count Answer the Call. Yeah. But, like, with that film, with Crocodile Hunter, we were saying, or at least I was saying at the time, like, there's a good movie in there. Cut off some of the fat.
Sure.
Same with this film. Cut off half the characters. Podcast, I love you. I wish you and Phoebe were just the focus because you're the best part of the first one. But for some reason, they just said, fuck that. Let's ruin the magic and just have them in, like, two scenes together. And one where, again, like we were saying, Ray just basically watches her fight a ghost and doesn't defend her at all to the police.
Even Janine, too. Janine's there just to be like, Melnitz in uniform. And that's it. That's all she's fucking there for. And it kind of sucks.
Because she was in the last one at the end.
Melnitz in uniform.
Fuck, did he get those sunglasses?
Oh, wait, the ghost is here. But one scene, Bill Murray has the sunglasses. Yeah. I don't get that at all. Yeah. Maybe because the wind's blowing.
He has sunglasses
the door gets
on
blown
for
off.
1 second.
They probably
on the screen.
It's probably a scene that was cut out.
Yeah.
Or like,
you cut out more Bill Murray and you added more.
Well, because there were
whatever else.
Let's talk about that for a second. Yeah. I mean, this happens all the time. Yeah. Even back in the day when me and Joe first started doing YouTube videos, we even did a few fake trailers ourselves for shows we were working on. So I get the appeal. But like, you got the scene with Paul Rudd and them all on the roof, not in the movie.
Yeah, the whole. There's none of that. And I'm like, holy shit, like they're going to fight in the middle of the street in the ice. And I was like, we don't even get that.
They straight up tease Lucky getting frozen to death in the trailer. Yeah. Never even happens.
No, well, she does shoot Garaka with the stream and he freezes the stream, which is really cool.
That's cool when that happens.
It implies that she's going to fucking die, or at least there's going to be
hurt or something.
Hurt.
Yeah.
Never.
Nobody gets hurt.
No.
Also, just going back to the whole Brass thing, I kind of like this, but the handling of it was crap, where they figure, okay, Brass is effective against this ghost, but Phoebe's like up there melting shit down.
Piece of the pole.
Yeah, port of the pole. Yeah, cuts all the poles down. That was cool.
Which is awesome, but it's so fast and quick just to get it in at the end. It's like, we should have been talking about this throughout the movie, like how to stop. They should have been a fucking showdown, and they get their asses kicked, and they have to regroup.
I think that's what they presented it as, kind of going back to the initial question, was this the movie we were promised? And I feel like all the ads made it seem like, and I think it still is to some extent, a real Ghostbusters episode, or at least it feels more like that. But
Somewhere in there.
It didn't feel as much like it as it was kind of trying to tell me in the previews. Yeah. Whereas it's like you have this, like you just said, this scene where they're all lining up ready to fight the thing. Even Janine's got a power fist that I don't remember her even using this fucking thing. Maybe once.
I don't think she did.
She doesn't use it.
What's her face did? Lucky uses it in like a training thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Like a James Bond scene. Yeah, you're right. But then, like, the doors get blown off by... Yeah, but the doors...
That's the British guy's... He's Q.
Yeah, that's Q, But the doors get blown off by the manipulator, and they're instantly dispatched, and then it's just like, huh... I guess we're doing this again, like when Gozer threw them in, Gozer in the last movie. It's like, oh, they're old. We're just doing that again. They're old.
Yeah.
But then they're like, well, actually, Finn Wolfhard and all of them also get trapped because now the big bad's here and he has ice powers. So he just like doesn't kill them all because this is still a PG film.
Yeah.
And not that I necessarily want to see them die, but.
And die. You know, we didn't get one of those.
Yeah, that would have been great. Yeah. But forces them against the wall with the icicles. Meanwhile, Phoebe is like pouring this fucking brass into her proton pack, and somehow now it shoots green lightning.
Well, the cyclotron is now coated in brass.
Right. You ever light a penny on fire?
Yeah, it's green.
It does turn green.
Which
makes
cool.
sense.
I thought it was fucking rad.
But it's like it's when I would rather have seen them all do it together.
Same.
Bingo.
Yeah. Lead up like slime blower proton stream shit from two.
Something.
That would have been fucking rad. And then they crossed the streams with that.
They teased
the fire.
They teased that there was so much of this new technology that Winston and team have been working on.
There's none.
There's none of it.
No.
There's technology that they use. She just cut the fucking pole and melted it into our pack. This is the technology we're using,
which
like,
is kind
of
cool.
Shitty spending millions on,
right? Yeah. And Nadim's got the full regalia on, and now again he's firing fireballs like he's Jerry Lawler or some shit.
I like to think that his grandma transmediumed into him,
which is kind of cool. Maybe
literally
they should have CGI'd her behind him.
Because he's got her garb on. She like controlled the fire.
Why'd you get another goat? Another son, father, command man, woman, like afterlife?
The first movie, she gets held by Egon.
Yeah. Right.
This movie, she gets held by her mother, her stepdad.
Like Harry Potter,
Finn, like, fucking twiddles in the background. You're like, oh, he's there too.
Because it's family.
In the whole movie.
Because it's family.
They had to push it. Oh, well, you go grab and help her too.
Yeah.
He's twiddling towards Slimer's asshole because he keeps picking
at it. He's got one hand in.
Yeah, sorry, I was distracted. Shit. My bad, guys. What are we doing here?
But yeah, she shoots with the green shit. Nadim throws the fireballs at it, and then it just gets destroyed and melts.
Well, Nadim, the cool thing about Nadim is it really unlocks his powers, just to your point, when he puts the whole suit on.
Well, right.
That's what amplifies his fire bending, which is cool.
It is also kind of, I think, implied that, well, it's a power he always had. He just didn't realize
it. Absolutely. Yeah. But I'm saying
it made him feel. I know I can do this. My family's been doing this.
But he's also wearing the
brass.
When he's got the brass on.
So it amplifies.
Literally has the brass to beat the monster. Yeah. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
They're shooting the fucking thing.
Oh,
like,
you know what? It doesn't melt. That's what happens. Hold that thought. Again, patreon.com/
Yeah, that's something
dumpster.
Else. they're shooting Garaka, and they try to trap him, and he's like, motherfucker, and he like hits the
oh, the
drone! The drone!
The ghost back
trap. Yeah, and they're like, "Wait, there's one big trap. It's the containment unit, and now there's no ghosts in it. So
it exploded. Yeah.
So they like reroute the power, and they shoot the. I don't even remember what happens exactly.
Yeah, they shoot the containment unit, and it explodes. Like it basically creates it like a trap, a giant trap,
a reversal.
A total platonic reversal.
Literally,
Actually, I thought this was cool because Rey does it in the basement, and then all the original Ghostbusters pull the lever.
To cause it to work, you're right.
And it sucks Garaka in, and then it closes itself back up, and I'm like, all right, well, you still have this fucking god that can almost not... He, like, needs that containment unit just for himself.
Right, yeah, you put Gozo there, it ain't gonna be able to hold
it. You didn't kill him. You trapped him.
This
is the issue with Ghostbusters.
Also,
Gozer's in a fucking trap.
They're not
in Oklahoma.
Busting any ghosts. Yeah, they're
Gozer
just
got out.
Yeah.
Unless Gozer's in the fucking Winston containment unit, it's out again.
No, Gozer's in all the traps.
He's
in
Oklahoma,
in the middle
of the dirt farm.
Yeah,
they got a third one coming. Maybe they got to bring Gozer back again. They brought all those traps. They brought them all back.
Put Gozer to sleep. That's it.
Yeah,
and Gozer. I don't want to see fucking Vigo either. Don't you dare.
Well, unless we get Answer the Call 2, because they did tease Gozer.
Oh my God.
Hold on.
They have voice said Zool.
Oh, maybe.
Stop it.
Oh, sorry. No. Don't listen to this. What's his name? Who directed it?
That Paul guy. Feige.
Yeah, Paul Feig. Don't listen to this shit.
Speaking
that was
of
a
Paul
joke.
Feig and the Ghostbusters 2016 movie, I don't know why I didn't say it yet. I promoted it like 4 times. Patreon.com/moviedumpster. We did a commentary track on the extended cut a couple years back on that movie. Goddamn. Also, Paul Feig's in Heavyweights, which is one we'll possibly be covering in the near future.
Soon.
Yeah.
But much like Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, we had to put those member berries in our episode for all the stuff that we did previously.
Yeah, speaking of member berries, we also, I forgot to mention it earlier, we got the guy from the fucking library comes back.
John Rothman.
Is that his name?
That's his name. Well, he's also in the Tier Collector episode of Tales from the Dark Side.
Yeah.
And he's living with Jessica Harper somewhere. and he's still running the library, I guess.
What's that got to do with it? Feeling like it's a great. He does give one of the best lines in that first movie.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys have anything else to say, but
nothing much. You know what? You mentioned Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
We have not talked about literally the most probably first on the call sheet. Right? I mean, yeah. Is Paul Rudd probably first on the call sheet of this movie?
Yes. I think he should be like number six or seven.
We've been talking an hour now, and we haven't even talked about him, which is the point. That's my biggest problem with this movie.
And that's a shame, because he's just there to be like...
And he's hilarious it's okay. A couple of lines. Yeah.
It's okay. You're my daughter, now. You're my son now,
At least Ray got like a lot of lines and was able to eat some Twizzlers on set. Again, if you somehow missed it in the movie, there's literally just a scene where Ray's holding a Twizzler while they're going over very important information.
Sean's the only person on earth that noticed
it. I didn't fucking notice
my
that.
Wife, he's like, it's a Twizzler, Ben. I'm like, what?
My wife's like, no one's going to know what the fuck you're talking about.
I'm like, people will know.
Yeah.
Now they will.
If you're those four people.
Yeah, when the Blu-ray comes out.
Drop a comment.
I'll post about it.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, you know, maybe my thoughts on this will change, right? I guess we'll get into our final thoughts on this real quick. Wrap this baby up. Toast this muffin. You know, this is the golden years, baby. We got to wrap it up.
We got to trap it.
Maybe I'll feel differently when I watch it again. I only saw it one time. So maybe it'll grow on me. I know Afterlife, watching that again, I kind of cooled out on some of the things I kind of had problems with. I thought it was fine the way they did it. Maybe I'm overthinking it, one or two. It's just that thing in my head where like, that's not what I expected, but now I know what to expect. I'll enjoy it more when I watch it again. If that makes sense.
No, it does.
It's just bloated.
Yeah. Very.
It's bloated.
It's a great word.
It's bloated, and it's paced in a way where like Jason Reitman and Gil Keenan are going like this, writing this fucking thing. Right? That's what it feels like.
It does.
That's one of the points I wanted to mention is the directing. Yeah. I mentioned this to you earlier.
Why the fuck wasn't it Jason in the first place?
The directing to me, and I said this to Joe before we did the show, I think that the directing is the reason the movie isn't better.
Yeah.
Because think you go from Jason Reitman, who is a 2-time Academy Award nominated director.
And Ivan on the first one too. They both
you
know,
you go
right,
from
yeah,
these
yeah.
directors who are like known for these good, you know, family dramas for Jason Reitman's sense, but live in Ghostbusters, right? Yeah. And obviously Gil Keenan loves Ghostbusters.
Sure,
but what has this guy made? The shitty remake of Poltergeist?
And Monster,
I saw that.
Like, Monster House, and he directed some Scream
I've never
episodes
seen that, but that's,
for the TV show.
So this guy hasn't done much.
No.
He's never done comedy.
No.
So that's what I'm just like, I'm watching this movie, and I'm like, if you had a competent director, this is at least a more competent movie, a more well-paced movie. Like I mentioned in the very beginning, the pacing and the way it was put together, I think if you had a better director at the helm, could have gotten that
I agree.
Done. And that's one of my biggest gripes. It's like, why didn't Jason Reitman do it?
Was
he busy? He was fucking, I'm sure he was there.
I know he was on set. I know he was.
The fuck else is
he
doing?
He was tweeting like, it just feels like Ghostbusters.
I wanted to pass the reins to this other guy. Fuck that,
for
dude.
Why?
It's in your family.
Again? Yeah.
Just all about family.
At least do one more where you're in New York. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway.
I don't think it's a bad movie. I don't think it's shitty. I don't think that it deserves to be shit on or hated or like for any of the reasons that I've been seeing on the internet. I think that's bullshit. And that's just knee jerk fucking click my link, like my post, say your piece so my shit can blow up kind of horse shit, which I fucking can't stand. It's just fine with a capital fucking F, dude. And that's good enough for me only because like this is a bonus.
Yep.
Yeah, you said that earlier.
This is a Ghostbusters bonus and like, it was fine, and I had a good enough time. I'm not going to get upset about it because it's pointless. Hopefully, if we get a third one, it's a little bit it's closer to what we thought we were going to get, which was a real Ghostbusters movie, essentially. I don't know. Just go for it next time. We know who the family are. Just go for it. They're busting ghosts. They've been doing it for a while, and there's a new threat. That's all I need. Really,
right. We don't want a third origin story.
I don't need
well, I'm going to be your new dad, and you can't be a Ghostbuster because you're not responsible enough. Even though Finn Wolfhard should have been that point with the reckless teen, not Phoebe, because it doesn't really...
Which was in Afterlife a bit.
Yeah. And they're still busting his balls in this movie, but like the whole thing...
Yeah, I wish they were busting ghosts instead. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Like, and it's just kind of like, what are they doing? Are they living off Winston's hospitality? Trying to revive the Ghostbusters.
Yes, also.
It's just kind
of yes, have some.
Yes, have some.
Yes, have some. Yeah. It was just okay. It was just
I needed a classic Ghostbusters ghostbusting montage with music, just like in the first two.
They're in New York.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. Get Cardi B to do a fucking Ghostbusters song and have a montage. It would have been great. And they're going around New York doing the thing, you know?
Yeah, and then Finn Wolfhard's adult, so he can dance the night away after busting some pretty pesky poltergeists, you know?
Yeah,
he could have just done that right in the montage.
How is Elvis and have you seen him lately? You know, like, that would have been great.
Yeah.
They're back. That's the joke. Yeah. I don't know.
So is it ripe or rotten then, you think?
Jeez.
Because it's not, I mean, you could argue dumpster or shelf, but the point of the ripes, that's kind of the barometer.
It might not be the movie that I necessarily wanted, and I can't fault it for that.
Okay.
So I'm going to say it's ripe. I think it's a good time. I think if I was a kid going to see this, I'd be like, this fucking rules. I'd be getting my little popcorn. I mean, I did it anyway as an adult, but I'd be getting my popcorn bucket and my fucking Stay Puft thing and my Icy and stuff, just like I did as an adult, but it'd be better as a kid probably. And I think that's cool. And I think I said it on the Afterlife thing. It's a whole nother generation of Ghostbusters, and I think that's fucking cool. Fine with a capital F. Ripe with a lowercase r.
Yeah, I like to think of that. It's the Big Apple, but like the bottom of the apple has been sitting on a bunch of dead apples. So bottom of it's a little ripe, but you know,
and this is like
rotten,
a family
you know,
thing.
Great minds think alike.
I don't think in absolutes. Come on now. Okay. It's in the middle.
Yeah.
To your point. It's fine. Yeah,
it's fine.
And I enjoyed it. And again, we're a little bit of, you know, on that niche market.
We're also going to be harder
on such big Ghostbusters. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I try to go into things with open mind. You know,
we were talking about it
going into the movie theater. In the movie theater, me and Sean were talking about walking in, going with the right expectations. I'm not going in expecting Ghostbusters original.
Yeah.
Right.
Or even
like if it was made in the 90s or something.
Like, you don't have, I'm sorry, I love Dan Aykroyd, but you didn't have Harold Ramis to help. Dan Aykroyd's initial script.
He needs
script,
his help.
Dan Aykroyd's initial script, they always talk about, is the most convoluted thing in the earth. And then Harold Ramis said, all right, let me make this movie a comedy now.
Yeah.
And then they made one of the greatest comedies ever made.
Sure.
You don't have Harold Ramis anymore, unfortunately. So that hurts it. But yeah, it was fine. It's a perfect word for him. It was fine. Yeah, I liked it.
Had a good enough time.
Yeah.
It is definitely fine.
Dr. Howard.
Yeah, we were joking about that earlier.
Oh, that was not on camera.
Dr. O'Rourke, Dr. LaScola, Dr. O'Rourke.
Deep cut.
I think it's fine with all lowercases. This movie, like I said earlier, actually disappointed me quite a bit. There's a lot of scenes that I think are really funny throughout, but it just kind of feels like Jason Reitman and, excuse me, forget the other guy's name, but the other guy, the director,
Gil Keane.
Yeah. They made that first movie and they just thought like, hey, we're never going to get another chance to do this. Let's throw every idea we have at the fucking film, take it or leave it, depending on your opinion of the film. But I think that was the logic, and maybe you should do that with every film, unless it's a planned trilogy or something like Star Wars.
I also get that, too. I understand.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
But then they got the chance to make the second one, and maybe they just didn't have that many extra ideas. Again, I think even Jason Reitman at the time was like, maybe Vigo. And then everyone was like, no, please, God, no. And we got this. I don't know. I feel like there's just... Again, I at the risk of repeating myself, a lot of good ideas just kind of like to take a bag of diamonds and throw it in your dog's shit and then just like stomp on it and then sort through that and see if you can find all the diamonds again. I don't know if you're going to find them all.
They're going to be covered with something that you might not like.
Yeah.
Again, this is fine, but I'm probably never going to watch it again.
Really? Never again? You're going to watch it
again.
How much
you want to bet?
If they make another one,
you'll watch it again.
I'll watch it again, but I really don't think I'm ever going to watch this again otherwise. I don't think it's nearly as bad, in my opinion, as 2016. Granted, that is kind of separated from this because it did do its own thing or try to do its own thing.
Don't worry, there'll be plenty of people online telling you that 2016
is better,
is great, and it's better, right, and whatever.
Like the Phantom Menace is better than Force Awakens.
I don't think it's that bad.
But no, it's not great either. Oh, you know what I mean?
Listen, it's not the word I would use to describe.
I always talk about my star ratings because that's just got a little bit more universal way to kind of look at it. It's like a 3 out of 5.
How many Slimer asses would you give this movie?
I agree.
I'd lick all 3 out of 5. I'd suck on that Slimer ass.
You finger all 3 out of 5?
Yeah, me and Finn Wolfhard, we're taking turns. He takes his finger out, I put mine in. But I'm just saying, like, it's also a case of, like, I think about this with other franchise films, like Friday the 13th or A Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, yeah, there's good ones in the series, but I'm going to go to, like, my 1 or 2 or maybe, like, my number 3. Maybe my number 4 if I'm really feeling frisky. But, like, 1 and 2 are there. Afterlife's there if I really need it.
Then maybe just watch real Ghostbusters.
Right. Or I can watch real Ghostbusters. Yeah. Maybe when this comes out on Blu-ray, I'll give it another chance.
You're going to buy it.
Yeah.
I didn't buy Afterlife, so I don't know. I don't know. I'm kind of sour on it. I still think it's a 3 out of 5. I still think I highly recommend seeing it if you are a Ghostbusters fan. Mm-hmm. I did read some hot takes from Ghostbusters online that said it was terrible. I think that's
ridiculous.
That's extremely crazy to me. Yeah. I will say at the end of this review, probably should have said this earlier, if you didn't like Afterlife, you're probably not going to like this
one. Don't watch the fucking movie if you don't like
it. If you didn't like Afterlife, kiss my ass. That movie's fucking, like, that movie's fucking awesome.
Kiss his ass. Kiss my ass. Kiss his ass.
Kiss his ass, yeah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, happy Hanukkah.
And I apologize if I just was, like, very negative, but I just felt like that was mostly what I had to say about the film. It's still funny. It's not very funny, but it's funny. And I think it actually is funnier than Afterlife, but the plot of Afterlife actually exists, and the plot of this film is kind of, like, barely, like I said, hanging on by a string, and that just is very much my biggest issue with the film. That and that there's too many characters.
I had a good time. I wanted it to be better than it was because I wanted it to do well.
And I still do think it's ripe.
Yeah.
After all that said, it's definitely starting to turn brown. It's definitely going to be a banana.
It's right at the end, right? You better eat that before it goes. Yeah,
you're
going to
make
brown.
Still make banana bread out of it, but you're not going to eat it by itself.
Make some miracle muffins out of it.
There you go.
Throw in some blueberries, and the blueberries are obviously Slimer's goo coming out. The Cheetos that came out of his
passed
ass
through. Yeah.
So yeah, check it out. Definitely watch it if you're a Ghostbusters fan. If you're wishy-washy, maybe wait for it to go streaming. Yeah. But
no, fuck that. Go see it in the theater.
It's still ripe. It's still ripe.
Go see movies in the movie theater.
I agree with
every
Michael.
Week or two. Yeah. I see as many movies as I can. Go to the theater.
I respect so you for that.
I love going to the movies.
And I saw it in the Dolby Vision, and the Dolby
sound
blew my fucking balls off, and that's what I want.
Yeah.
I will say, when I saw Dune 2, crappiest screen I think I've ever seen it on. I'm like, wow, my TV at home looks better. But Ghostbusters, that did look very good.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
So yeah, that's Ghostbusters Frozen Empire from 2024, directed by Gil Keenan. Let us know what you think in the comments. Was this the sequel that you thought you were going to get for Ghostbusters? Was it not? You know, let us know what you think. Where do you rank this Ghostbusters in your Ghostbusters lineup?
And before we get out of here, there was something else I had to do, but what was that note, Mike? Oh, like and subscribe this video if you're watching on YouTube. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, please leave us a like and a 5-star review. Even write a review if you got time. Slimer's got time. He's going to write his review. It's going to be mostly garbage, but write that review. Share the video, subscribe, and like it, please. It really does help.
I'm Dr. LaScola.
I'm Dr. O'Rourke.
And I'm Dr. O'Rourke. And remember to leave a comment because
we're ready to hear from you.